Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show. Oh. Knock On Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knock On Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton.
Okay, thank you. That was good. Wow. Appreciate that. That was big.
You know, sometimes you got to just out there.
For like a Brazilian soccer, like a soccer announcer, like go.
Yeah, you gotta amp it up. I've always thought soccer announcers were the best. You know, they're kind of like Chip Carey. Like every time anything's hit anywhere near the goal, the soccer announcer is gonna come in there strong and be like, he shoots, and the ball is like 30 feet. To the left or to the right, you know, it just is what it is. Sounds like he's having a baby.
Yeah.
Speaking of having a baby, I've been wrestling kidney stones all day, so you know, that's no fun.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's not. That sounds horrible. How are the war tabs treating you?
Oh, they were treating me well. They were treating me well.
Good stuff.
I got some relief a little bit this afternoon, finally. The Lord tabs did good, and then they didn't do good. and they weren't strong enough. And then, finally, I guess I got enough movement that I was able to pass out and kind of go to sleep for a while. So, when I woke up, I've been relatively okay since then. So, fingers crossed.
That's all right. You'll be all right.
Yeah,
got this.
So you, while I've been passing kidney stones, you've been watching hockey. For some people, that's kind of like passing kidney stones, but I don't think it is for you. The hockey, let me get this straight. Hockey just skipped the regular season once COVID hit and decided we're just going to do the playoffs, right?
Well, what they basically did was they took, instead of usually 8 teams from each conference, they extended it out to 12. So you've got 24 teams instead of 16. So that way, if you were on the verge of possibly playing in for a playoff spot, you've got a chance to make it. So the top 4 teams from each conference all play each other in a round robin to play and stay active. And that determines the seeding for the next round. And then you've got seeds 5 through 12 in each conference, and they're all playing a best of 5. So it's a great TV product right now. So it's kind of like March Madness, because like every other hour and a half, you got another game starting. Like they have like basically like 6 games a day. It's a lot. It's a lot of action going on. So that's where I've been doing mostly today since like noon. Has been vegging out watching hockey. I got the Braves game on now. And then I'm probably done with the hockey after that. I'll probably go to bed.
Yeah, I was talking, awesome. Like, I was talking to somebody about it, and they were telling me that one of the cool things about this was with hockey, it's a sport that has a lot of attrition in it, so you end up with a lot of injuries, a lot of people kind of getting nicked up along the way. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times by the playoffs, you don't really even have the same team that you had halfway through the season. And they said one of the cool things about this was that with the layoff due to COVID, almost all the teams were back, like, full ready to go. Like, there was almost nobody on the injured list for this, and it made for a kind of really interesting play-in here in this sort of model.
Yeah, and the cool thing I like about hockey is the way they rotate lines of guys in and out, in and out, in and out. So you're using a bunch of your roster. So at any given chance, unlike the Braves, where you're going to have guys that don't even see an at-bat, you could get a goal scored from your number one player. You could get a goal scored from a guy who has scored 5 goals all year. Uh-huh. You know, you never know who might be able to contribute and help out on the team. So, and there was a lot of fights in the game today between the Lightning and Bruins. The Bruins are a dirty team. They play cheap. And there was a lot of push and shoving
that says the guy wearing a lightning hat. Says the guy wearing a lightning hat while we're recording this.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the dirty ones, not us. No, they're, you know, there's some bad... Hockey's notorious for having some bad blood between teams, that these guys don't like those guys, and so you know when certain guys get together, there's going to be some fighting involved. So that's...
I've always felt like good hockey was like a Pittsburgh and Cincinnati game, or Pittsburgh-Baltimore game in the NFL. Like, it's just one of those over and over and over again where people, there's bad blood, and it's just bad blood from the time it starts, and we're pretty much halfway fighting this game. It's we're using this game as legal permission to beat the hell out of each other, basically.
Basically, or a big college rivalry where you know these guys are barking, you know, you'll see them in warm-ups, and the team's at the 50-yard line, and they're jumping in front of each other, and, you know, they're just talking trash. And hockey's like, but they're the toughest dudes in the world, man. Like, these guys are nuts. Like, they get out there, and yeah, they're wearing a lot of pads, but they're tough. They get punched in the head. One guy lost a tooth today. I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, nice.
These are guys that are like, you know how we like the manliness of baseball players?
They're not very manly.
I lost a tooth in the game. You'll go out for a beer. You'll go out for a beer afterwards. Like, you know what I mean? And that's hockey.
It's like, I lost four teeth. I'm starting tomorrow. You know, like me, I lose four teeth. I'm like laying in bed for a week with ice on my face. You know, like it's insane. It's insane. No, that's hockey.
Yeah, chicks dig hockey players too. Like,
they do. They do. It's weird. I don't really get it, because a lot of these hockey players are toothless, ugly men. Like, and yet women have convinced themselves that they're not. Just saying. Like, compared to baseball players, 99% of hockey players are ugly. I'm just saying. Like, they've got a good reason to be. They've been hit in the face a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. But
there's some gorgeous ones. Oh, man. I'll tell you that. I mean, these, like, the Swedish guys with long hair and blue eyes, you know, there's some pretty ones. They're all tougher than me, so.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But how many times have you said, oh, man, that Russian guy just really does something to me?
Like, Alex Ovechkin might be the best hockey player of our generation. He scored 700 goals, and he might be the ugliest athlete in the world. Like, he is just, looks like he's had his face bashed in 1,000 times. He's not a pretty fellow, but again, I'm not going to tell him that to his face, because he'd beat me up.
But then you get like Sid Crosby, and Sid Crosby's like a pretty boy, even though he's tougher as nails.
Yeah.
So like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, I don't watch hockey, but I kind of know the players, which is weird. I should probably watch more hockey, if I'm being honest. But hey, NBA's back playing. Have you watched any of that?
I haven't gotten into the NBA. I will once the official playoffs start, which will be later on this month. But I really haven't paid much attention to the bubble. I haven't watched any of the bubble action. Mainly,
I think
the
only thing
I
even saw.
I
think the only thing I even saw was the one black dude that refused to kneel down for the national anthem.
Yeah, I saw that. No, that was
busted his knee later in the game. It was out for the year because of a knee injury. And it was like, oh, man, that's rough. Sucks for that guy. Yeah. I think that's all I've seen from the NBA.
The biggest basketball story, or Lou Williams having to get re-quarantined because he went to pick up wings from a strip club. I did hear about that.
That's right. I did hear about that. Yeah. NBA, like, for me, NBA is one of those sports that you really notice the fans not being. I don't know. I feel like I've seen like just a few clips of the NBA season so far, and I'm like, it looks like they're playing practice. Like, it looks like Allen Iverson. We talking about practice? Practice? Yeah, I mean, it looks
not
like practice. That's what it looks like. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because sometimes in games, you're so close to the court, and like when you see like Golden State would do this, and they'll hand out t-shirts on every chair. So, like, everybody's wearing the same white t-shirt, and it looks like a crazy environment. You don't get that anymore. It feels like they're playing a summer league game out in Vegas where it's like, you know, an empty gym, and it's just, it takes away. Hockey, you don't even really notice it because you're only seeing the ice, pretty much. It takes up the whole screen. So you really don't notice the lack of fans.
Right.
At a hockey game at all. Like, you
know, and at a hockey game, you've got the action. There's a literal wall between the fans and the ice. So, like, even that's like a visual break that's just not as obvious. Like, even if you're watching on TV, like, I don't ever look and think, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of fans. You know, like, it doesn't really register with me. But when you're watching NBA, it's like that's – you can't think of an NBA court shot that you don't, like, see the fans sitting around the edges, you know. And also the gyms look, like, so dark, like, because they don't have the lights on except on the court. Everything looks really weird. I don't know. It looks weird. I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about it, but
yeah, it's a tough – it's hard to get past – like, you know, it's hard as for a TV product. It's hard not to – notice those kind of things, but what can you do? I'd rather have anything than go back to having nothing. It's nice having, like, this flow of games all of a sudden.
You've
got PGA Championship coming this weekend. You've had NASCAR. We got baseball for the most part. We've got a ton of hockey games, ton of basketball. So, like,
and it's, hey, it feels I think it was Clay Travis. I think it was Clay Travis I saw talking about this, and he was like, fans are kind of going to kind of get spoiled, because I don't know if you realize this, but every day of the month of August and probably September is going to be like March Madness. There's like, you're going to get up and there's going to be an NBA game on. There's going to be a hockey game on. There's going to be a baseball game on, and they're all meaningful games. Like, they all mean a lot. And so that's
that's what's cool, because the way they're scheduled, it's not like, it's not your typical night where you have all these games at 7 and then all these games at 10. You've literally, like, and if you're working from home, like a lot of people are, you've got games at noon, at 2, at 4, at 6. Like,
right.
So it's pretty cool. Because usually you have to pick and choose what you're going to be into and what you're going to watch, but now you kind of get everything. Which, like I was saying, is going to be hard for baseball, because usually baseball doesn't have to compete at this point of the year.
Yeah.
Like, baseball, you know, and August the 5th, when we're recording this, it's baseball, baseball, baseball. That's it. But now they're competing directly with everything else. So,
Yep. Hey, talking about baseball, let's dive in a little bit. The Braves, man, it's been a rough week, JT. First of all, Soroka goes down. We talked about that on yesterday's show. Then you've got Ozzie Albies now going on the 10-day DL with a wrist injury. I appreciated all of Twitter last night informing us of what an idiot Brian Snitker was for having Ozzie Albies playing baseball. I guess to be fair, I guess Twitter, Braves Twitter, does probably know a lot about sore wrists. But weird thing. I know, but like all our listeners don't follow Twitter all the time. Come on. Give me my shots here, JT. It was a good one.
Okay. It was good. Yeah, I mean, okay, but in lieu of Mike Soroka's injury, I'm not at all worried about, like, a Matt Adams hamstring or a bone bruise in Ozzie's wrist. Like,
right.
Those seem minuscule by comparison. Like, and it's not like Ozzie was lighting it up. Like, he was clearly hurt, so.
Yeah. Can we talk about that, though? Like, it's weird now, man. Fans freak out when a player tries to play through injury now. Have you noticed that? Like, they lose their minds. Like Braves Twitter was losing their minds because Ozzie's out there trying to play through an injury. And, like I don't know that you should or shouldn't. I'm just sitting here saying, there was a time, like, we celebrated that kind of player that would go out there, tough it and grit it out, and still give you good quality innings, you know? I don't know, man. What do you think of all that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Freddie Freeman admitted to taking some Advil before a game or whatever and freaked out. Like, people were like, he's got a drug problem and they're enabling his drug issue. And I'm like,
yeah,
dude, pop, like, some Advil so he could play. Like, that's not a big deal. Like,
right,
you know,
right.
People play through pain. That's part of being an athlete, is, you know, at a certain point, like, you're 100% on game one. Outside of that, you're probably got aches and pains somewhere in your body. That's just part of being an athlete. Especially with the 60-game compressed schedule where you don't have as many built-in days off. Like, you're going to have some bumps and bruises and some nagging things. And, you know, it's, you just got to deal with it. Like, Cal Ripken did not beat Lou Gehrig's record just out of blind luck. He was hurt all the time. You know, it wasn't just happenstance. Like, but, you know, he taped it up and he got out there and played the game. And, you know, if he...
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You hear pain meds and people assume the worst. Pain meds are fine when you use them for pain. That's what they're here to do. You know, if you're
trust
you're
me,
hurt,
today I am
you
very
take
aware
medicine
of that. Today I am very aware of that.
Right, you know. Right. So I mean, that's a big difference between abusing medication and taking it for its prescribed use. Like those are two totally different things. And so yeah, I mean that's just part of the game, especially a game like baseball, when you're used to playing 162 games, you understand the difference between being hurt and being injured.
Right.
You know, everybody's
right.
hurt. You know, you get to the end of a baseball season, everybody's hurt.
And sometimes there's a fine line between the two. Sometimes you don't know if you're just hurt or injured, and sometimes you try to play through it. And when you've got a manager like Brian Snicker, a lot of people were like, oh, man, Snicker just enables this. And I'm like, yeah, because Snicker's been there, and he understands sometimes you have to play a little nicked up, and sometimes players don't tell him the whole truth. Like, for example, I bet you Ozzie is not told him completely how nicked up that arm was, and so then when Ozzie goes out there and bats lefty against a left-handed pitcher, people are like, oh, well, he didn't tell me it was quite that bad, so now we're going to put him on 10-day IL. You know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah,
I think fans assume they have more information than the manager does. Yeah,
and I think it was one of those things he said in the post game that he was like, well, "Give it a go, and we'll evaluate it afterwards." But you know, he said like, you know, something we're going to have to look at, and we'll see, and see if he wants to gut it through, and if not, then we'll shut him down. But
right,
you got to understand too. Remember what Brian Snicker's comments were after. Urania hit Acuna, and he talked about, hey, these are my kids. You're coming after my kid. How he sounded in the postgame presser on Monday, talking about Mike Soroka's injury, it was like his dog had been shot. Like,
yeah.
No one loves these kids more than Brian Snicker. And if you think he's going to do anything that's going to cause long-term harm to these guys, ask every single one of these guys. Ask any of the beat writers who cover the team, and they know the ins and outs of these guys, and they'll all tell you that Brian Snicker, like McAlpin was talking about on his show, he loves these guys like his own kids, man. He's not going to do anything that's going to cause long-term harm to anybody.
Right.
It's a bruise. It's a contusion on his wrist. He's got a bruise on his bone, on his wrist bone where he got hit. That's it.
Yeah.
It's nothing that's going to cause long-term. It's not like he's pitching with a ligament barely hanging on or something.
Right, right, exactly.
He'll be okay.
Yep.
So,
but anyway, Matt Adams.
It's a little overdramatic and overblown, but that's Twitter.
Yeah, you mentioned Matt Adams. He goes on the DL with a hammy. Probably this is as much precautionary as anything. Big guys like Matt, if they tweak a little hammy, you don't want it to turn into something a lot worse. And the first statement, like after the game, the first night when it happened, they said it was just, they kind of played it off like it might be just a day-to-day thing. It was kind of minor. And then I think after talking it over, they, you know, they got Marteka sitting there they could bring back anyway. Ozzie's going on the DL, and so with Ozzie going on the DL, it was just easier to go ahead and have Adams go on, get the rest, get it over with, get everybody healed up.
Yeah.
All right, JT, are you ready to go around the majors with Josh and JT?
And now it's time for Around the Majors with Josh and JT, where Josh and JT keep you abreast of all the latest happenings from around Major League Baseball. Don't have an ESPN Insider subscription? Will no one share their Athletic subscription with you? No problem. This shit's free. Now, here's Josh and JT.
Sure.
Sure. Well, no, Josh is weak. Josh was having to work, so JT, I'm going to let you carry the load, and I will be here to catch
the load. All right, let's see what we got. As usual, I'm looking at this like, I have a load, and I'm ready to unload it on you. Okay.
Unload it on me, baby.
Angelic news cycle. Mike Trout returns from paternity leave and hits a home run in his first at bat. I'm thinking this kid could be good.
I think he could be.
He's shown me a lot this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paternity leave, that's a thing now, huh?
It okay. is, yeah. But right. and, okay. and it has been for a All while, right. for several years now. They get, I think most guys get like 3 days off when a kid's born a lot of times, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, good for him.
I like the Mike Trout guy.
Do you know the name of his kid?
I think his career could go up. Yeah, it's the name of Mike's Trout kid is, let's see, I know part of it because Gordon Beckham was laughing about it.
Trout. Trout is part of it.
Beckham Aaron Trout.
Beckham Trout. Okay. Hmm. It's hard when your Beckham last name is Aaron. Trout to really come up with a cool name. Yeah. Bat is his Bat is his acronym.
Maybe you could name, hard. That's like, that is Trout, kinda cool. I didn't realize that. That's pretty great.
but if your last name is Trout, people are just gonna call you Trout. You know? Yeah. It's just a good last name to just be called as a nickname. Like I'm not gonna call like anybody with a last name Trout, I'm not gonna call him anything but Trout. I don't know what a baby trout is called, but maybe he should have gone with that.
Spawn.
Spawn. Julio Teheran gets his first start for the Angels after being on the COVID list, so he's making his debut in L.A. Is there? I'm rooting hard for Julio. I'm rooting hard for the kid.
Julio do good.
I don't think he's a kid anymore.
Julio deserved a little better. I think he deserved a little better in Atlanta, you know, than he got. But yeah, I'm pulling for Julio. I hope he can keep the ball in the park. That's always been Julio's big thing. If he can not give up the dinger, Julio's pretty good usually.
If he could have maintained his velocity he had when he first came up, Julio could have been a really, really good pitcher because he's put together a pretty solid career. He's one of those guys where, like, yeah, we hated the first inning home run or whatever, but by the end of the year, you looked at his stats and he never was hurt. And he put together solid year after solid year, like very underrated. Yep. He may be a guy where if he plays 15 or 16 years in the league, which I know is a long shot to happen, but if he puts together a 15, 16-year career, not saying he's going to ever be a Hall of Famer, but he's going to be one of those guys that are like, oh, he was better than I thought he was.
Yeah, he could compile accumulate a lot of stats. Yeah, resume. Accumulate a lot of stats over time. It would be what could be interesting there for sure. Julio Teheran.
But he was never like an ace, but he was never like absolutely terrible. My dad acts like he's the worst pitcher ever, but...
I think you're 100% right that if he had been able to keep 95 instead of 92, 93, yeah. Julio's a lot better pitcher, you know, because do you know he already has 20.4 WAR in his career, JT? I mean, that's like you said, if he gets another 6-7 years of just good baseball, then I mean, like, let's see, he came up in 2011, so he's only pitched like 9 years, basically. So, yeah, I mean, if he puts together another 7 years, that's of that same kind of baseball, that's 35 WAR, 40 WAR.
That's a really
career.
Solid.
That's pretty serious.
That's a solid career, yeah. That's a great career.
Best of luck to Hulu.
And he'll have a lot of money in his bank account, so that's good. Angels calling up top prospect outfielder Joe with no E, Adele. All right, so this dude's a stud, apparently. Okay, in your notes here, you say he's a Ronald Acuna-level player. That's big talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What makes this guy so good?
He's pretty good. Well, I mean, last year in the minors, he hit like 289, 10 home runs, 27 doubles, about 7 stolen bases. But that was in only like 76 games. And he was also, during that, he split time. I think he started out at A ball and went double A and even ended up in like triple A ball. So, I mean, that's pretty seriously good when you're talking about a guy bouncing through three levels and still putting up those kind of numbers. He's super fast and he's an outfielder. You know, prospects are prospects. You never are certain, but he certainly looks like a true stud. Wasn't he a number one pick or close to it a few years back? I'm not positive on that part, but
I've heard the name. I don't think he went one overall, but he I think it was their first round draft pick.
Okay.
And, yeah, and speaking of you had a note on here about all the young pitchers coming up that usually these guys sit down for 3 and 5 years, but it seems like there's been a rash of teams saying, you know what, whatever, this is a weird season. Let's get these guys some experience and get them up there. Who are some guys that have made their debuts?
Oh my goodness, there's been a ton of them this year. I know like Brendan McKay and Dustin May for the Dodgers has been up quite a bit. There's Brady Singer for Kansas City has been pitching. I saw where the Padres were picking up. They were going to be starting one of their big prospects. What's his name? It's kind of odd. One second. Luis Patino.
McKenzie Gore?
I believe.
Where's McKenzie Gore?
McKenzie Gore has not been called up yet. He has not been called up yet, but people are actually saying Gore probably will get the call before the end of the year. So, and there's been even more than that. I know the Yankees have a young kid that's in their starting rotation that's been really good. There's been a lot of guys around the league either making debuts or have only pitched just a little bit before that are like, you know, kind of earning a serious spot. So be interested to see what happens there.
Casey Mize for the Tigers is one that I'm interested to see. And where's Carter Stewart these days? He's not getting called. Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, he's in like community college somewhere. That guy.
Oh,
man. So looks like MLB has proposed, waiting for a full approval, a plan that will cut rosters to 28, but no lower. Now was originally supposed to go down to the original number, which was 26. Remember back in the offseason, which feels like 9 years ago, they added the extra guys, so you have a 26-man roster. I don't see how they can cut the rosters, though. With all these COVID breakouts you've had, like, how is that going to work?
Because it's at 30 right now. They're talking about it was supposed to step down to 28, I think, tomorrow or today. I don't know. And then, or maybe it's next week. And then it was supposed to step down again to 26, like a week and a half after that or something. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I can kind of see dropping maybe to 28, even though that still feels really small with everything going on right now. But that's going to put the pinch on the Braves a little bit. They're going to need starters to go a little bit deeper in the game, that kind of thing. So be interesting to see.
This next news bit is why you guys are happy to have me in your fantasy baseball league this year, because I just picked him up. Mr. Craig Kimbrell. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Okay. Craig Kimbrell. Oof. By the way, it wasn't but like 18 months ago where people were pestering the Braves every time they would release any sort of statement on Twitter.
Sign Kimbrell!
There would be people pestering. Sign Kimbrell! And I still like to do it every now and then because it's fun. Yeah, announce Kimbrell. Yeah. When are we getting Kimbrell? That was last year. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Craig Kimbrell has been in 3 games, 1.2 innings, ERA of 32.4, and a whip of 4.8. 6 earned runs, 2
That's
homers.
Insane.
Walked 4 and 1 strikeout. My goodness. Now, where's his velocity at? Is he all of a sudden like throwing 88?
I don't know, man. I know in spring/summer training they had said his velocity was off. I haven't actually watched these games like live, so I don't know if it's been off if his velocity's been down like in the game or if he just has zero control. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but it ain't good.
I'm making a note to myself.
This ain't released the Kimbrell.
It's about to be released the Kimbrell. He's about to get released.
That's right. God, that's a lot of money, though. What, they
I'm
keep
about
it, like,
to
3 years?
I can't remember. It was big.
You cut him in your fantasy team?
It was big.
Is that what you're doing?
I can't until tomorrow. I got to make a note to remind myself tomorrow morning, go ahead and drop him. Because I just saw him like, damn, Craig Kimbrell's real. Maybe he had a rough start. Maybe he had a bad outing and somebody cut him. I'm like, Craig Kimbrell sitting there in free agency. Eh, no okay, why not pick him up? Yeah, you know, yeah. It's Craig Kimbrell. I mean, can't be that bad, right? You know, I'm like, yeah, but right. I had a bad outing, and somebody panicked and cut him. So I was like, nah, let me pick him on up. Didn't realize it was that bad, and that doesn't seem like, I mean, that's bad enough. I know it's a small sample size, but that's rough. Yeah. That it's just only because you're comparing him to past Kimbrellness. You know what I mean? That's not.
Yes, true, true. I mean, well, let's be honest, though. Even if I was Kimbrell,
I have on my poster here.
Those numbers, though, if I were comparing them to bad Luke Jackson, make Luke Jackson look really good. You know, and look, I think Luke Jackson's elite, but he had some seasons where he wasn't, for sure. So, like, I mean, I don't know, man. That's rough. That's bad. And it, you know, if it were just a slow start to this year, I don't think people would panic as much. But it's not like Kimbrell was good down the stretch last year either, you know. So, I don't know. Oof, that's a scary one.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, you're looking at a guy who had seasons where, no kidding, he would strike out half the batters he faced. Like, right. That's not an exaggeration. And that's otherworldly. This is such a far cry from that, that it's like, okay, like, he might be just cooked. He might just be done. Because it's not like he's a large dude. It's not like he's this, you know, big-bodied guy that's just strong as an ox. Like, he's, you know, I mean, he's getting older. Man, that's just... It reminds me of when Tim Lincecum wasn't good anymore.
Yeah. And Craig Kimbrell's always been a head case. Like, you know it. You could not bring him into a game that was not a close situation. So, if something's not right, I don't know how much Kimbrell even knows how to pitch. You know what I mean? Like, he's a one-inning guy. He's always just blown people away with a couple of pitches. And so I don't know how much, you know, some of these guys, they have to reinvent themselves when they lose 99. You know, Kimbrell was like 98, 99 kind of guy. Like, that's every now and again, he might even touch 100. And if he starts losing some of that velocity, man, I don't know if he knows how to pitch or not. Mm. I mean, maybe he does. I don't know. You definitely got to reinvent yourself when you start doing that.
By these numbers, I'm guessing he doesn't, buddy. That's rough. Aaron Judge, homered in 6 straight games, 7 homers in 6 games. Best player in baseball. I mean, he's a big dude.
That's what A-Rod said.
For the Yankees and
Mashes A-Rod on national television said that he has now surpassed Mike Trout and Christian Yelich, and that Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball.
Okay.
I'll just say it.
Okay, Christian Yelich is off to a really bad start. We got that. I mean, he's not having a good time.
Uh-huh.
But he strikes me as a one-trick pony. I mean, he's a big dude. He's 6'7". He's about 270 pounds. And, of course, he plays for the Yankees, so that helps people know who he is. And he can mash homers. That's great. But, I mean, I don't know. He's not as well-rounded as Mike Trout is. I mean, Trout gives you so much more than the ability to hit some home runs.
Absolutely. Right, exactly. Now, to be fair, Aaron Judge is batting .314 so far this year, but it's also over, you know, 35 at-bats. So, you have to take that with a grain of salt. Also, he's hit 6 home runs, or maybe 7 total for this year. Now, that sounds like a lot, but then when you think about the fact that he's hit 6 of them, or what is it? He's hit, what'd you say? 7 homers in 6 games. That means he didn't hit any home runs before that. So, you know, what was the guy that plays for Philly that everybody's now forgotten about, that when he first came up, he hit like 40 home runs in like 30 days, it felt like. And now, you know, nobody even remembers that he plays for Philadelphia anymore.
Yeah.
Just saying. Reese Hoskins, you know?
Reese. Anyway. Yes. Reese Hoskins. Hoskins.
Hoskins. Reese. Hoskins.
Yes. Sometimes, you know, so he doesn't get hit in the nether region, he wears Reese's cup to help protect himself. Oh, wow.
To protect his Reese's pieces?
That's interesting.
Is that what he does?
Yes. Yes, to protect Reese's pieces, he wears a Reese's cup.
Yeah. If can we say this though? If Aaron Judge, is somehow the face of Major League Baseball, that's the ugliest face. You made the statement that Ovechkin
is not a handsome guy
player, but Aaron Judge looks like a dang troll. I'm serious, like full on just Dungeons and Dragons level, some kind of enemy troll. I'm just saying, he's an ugly man.
Oh, I thought you meant he looked like Josh.
No, yeah, I got it.
Injury news. Max Scherzer out after just one inning. Uh-oh. Upper leg injury. I guess that's better than an arm injury. Could miss a start or two. Never want to wish guys getting hurt, but that doesn't hurt the Braves' chances of having Max Scherzer miss a couple starts. That could always help. Well,
I don't mind a guy getting lightly nicked up.
Seems to be surviving. Yeah. Like, I'm not praying for him to get hit by a bus or anything, but, man, if he struggles with blisters or, you know, pulled a, you know, groin muscle, like, hey, man, that helps my team. Sorry, maybe a bad person or anything. Shohei Ohtani, is the Shohei Ohtani experiment over? Are we done with this now?
I don't think it is. I think he's so good on both sides. But he is injured. He's out, strained forearm, I believe, is what I read. And he may be out like up to six. I think I read he was out 4 to 6 weeks before he could even start throwing again. So, you know, that's like going to be pretty much the rest of the season.
Unless they done
make it to the playoffs. But I think he's still supposed to bat some during that time. I think they were going to give him like a 10-day stint, and then he was going to be able to come back as a batter. I don't know. It's weird. I still think that us East Coasters kind of miss out on really understanding how valuable a guy like him is and how cool he is.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because one day my kids are going to ask me, my kids are going to be like, what was it like watching Mike Trout play? And I'll be like, I have no idea. I don't know.
Exactly.
So I'll play twice.
It's like kind of like watching Barry Bonds play when he was going for, you know, for the Giants. You know, like, I don't remember Barry Bonds playing for the Giants hardly because I never got to watch him. I saw some SportsCenter highlights.
Like, I'd be watching I'd watch the 11 o'clock SportsCenter and they'd cut into an at bat every now and then. Like, that was, you know, about it. White Sox top prospect Nick Madrigal. Never heard of him. He's out for a while, separated shoulder. Don't the White Sox have like a ton of top prospects? Like in their entire team, just a bunch of young prospects?
Pretty much, yeah. It's like Gone Mikado, Luis Robert, a bunch of pitchers, and then Nick Madrigal. Madrigal, though, he got called up and then separated his shoulder like the day after he got called up. Tough start to your career, young man.
Mm. Let's see. Astros closer Roberto Ozuna confirmed POS. Roberto Ozuna looks like he's going to need Tommy John surgery. Good. I hope it goes wrong. He's a piece of crap. I beat his wife, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, or there was at least some allegations of that. Yeah.
If not, I feel bad. But if I got the wrong guy, but yeah, he pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays.
But yeah,
that is the right guy I'm thinking of, screw him.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Shelby Miller opted out. I thought Shelby Miller opted out like 4 years ago. I didn't know he was still in this thing called pro baseball.
Raise your hand if you're out there listening and you actually knew Shelby Miller was still in Major League Baseball. Yeah, wasn't he with the Brewers this year or something?
The Brewers. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which would make sense as a Miller.
Oh, yeah. A Miller, you know, genuine brewer.
That he would play for the Brewers. Yeah. Makes sense. There you go. Bringer of Rain has been out. Fifth straight game with a calf strain. Ken, if anyone knows about a strained calf, it would be you. You have calves all over the place. Yeah. He's got bad legs.
He came to Atlanta.
Josh also had a problem with
legs. Yeah, he came to Atlanta and they taught him how to run. Remember they said they sent him to like some running classes? And then so it fixed his legs and now he's in Minnesota and he forgot how to run. Leave it to Josh Donaldson to forget how to run.
Oh, man. Okay, is this bad? Because it's not that I have nothing against Josh Donaldson for going to Minnesota. But do you kind of feel like, okay, if he's going to be hurt,
it makes 100%. You feel better?
like
dodge that bullet. Dodge that
bullet.
God, AA is a genius. That's what I'm you're saying. It's like it has nothing to do with the fact that Josh Johnson just happened to choose more money in Minnesota slightly, you know, but no, the GM's a genius.
Because we could be paying Craig Kimbrel right now.
Exactly. On deadline. I'm here.
You there? You froze. You there?
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. You kind of froze on me. You just stopped moving. But yeah, I was like, I'm okay with that. Like, okay, that's a dodge bullet. Imagine if we had signed Craig Kimbrel. And the Braves would have been overjoyed. The Braves fans would have been like, we got Kimbrel. And imagine how miserable that would be.
Well, you imagine how bad they are when Luke Jackson comes in and lets one man walk, much less Craig Kimbrel, you know.
Imagine. Oh. Imagine Craig Kimbrel. Robinson Cano, groin issue. You think it's really a groin issue, or you think this is just him?
50-50. That being said, like, Robbie's a good guy. So, or at least I've always heard he is. So, I'm hoping this is an actual injury, but your buddy Yanis taking leave from the team could be a problem. So it could all blur together.
Yeah, I think it's just going like, okay, this is going nowhere. Just I'm going to pull my own groin and get out.
I mean, Braves Twitter would know. So let's ask Braves Twitter. They're probably familiar with pulling their own groin. They probably pull their own groin quite a bit. Let's just
Cardinals going to clear COVID and be back playing by Friday. Okay, that's awesome. So, as of yesterday, zero positive tests in any organization.
Yeah, I thought it's the end of the world and we were going to have to stop baseball as of 5 days ago, according to national writers. And now, zero positive tests. Hmm, interesting. It's like, you know, 20-year-olds handle this stuff fine and life goes on.
Yeah, but, you know, I do wonder how quickly that can change. You know, all it takes is some knucklehead, and then you travel, and then it's just the logistics of baseball make all this hard. Because if they got to miss a week, then you got guys shut down for a week, and there's no off days. It's not like football where you have a week off in between. You know, it's just the logistics of having to clean a locker room before the next team can come in. And then
you know, they talked about the bubble thing, you know, JT, with like where they got the bubbles and all that kind of stuff and like the NBA doing the bubble and hockey doing the bubble. I didn't feel like MLB could pull off a true bubble, but I did think where they're playing like AL East and NL East only against each other and that kind of thing, I thought they might could have done like divisional bubbles. You know, so like say, for example, the American League East and the NL East, that you pick like, and you can even rotate this some, but you pick like five stadiums, and you're going to play all the games in those five stadiums. If a stadium gets infected, you move it to a different stadium because nobody's coming to Atlanta anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like you're it's just the team moving. So if you had them all in one location, you got your protocols to kind of keep those places safe, and so four teams basically operate out of Washington, four teams operate out of New York, four teams operate out of Atlanta, you know, if you were just mixing it up, you know, or something like that. And I know you mix it up and teams have to go different places, but it feels like if you could kind of look at the schedule, you could rotate teams in and out that way. I don't know. Feels like you probably could have done localized bubbles of some sort to make it a little safer. I don't know.
I just hope they can get these teams back to a reasonable level of games played. I don't want to be behind the standings of the Marlins because they've played like five less games. You know what I mean? Or some situation like that where you go, oh, come on, we're a game out of first place and they played five less games than we did. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to end up in a situation like that. That's going to be cause for some gripes. And we, you know, we lose the division and they get to be division champions because, you know, something like that happening to a team, I think, would be a major concern of just gripiness. Around the league, the Yankees, Twins, big division leads already. Okay. Not too surprising.
I think
there.
The bigger surprise is how big the gap is between first and second in those divisions. You know, I think the Yankees are like 9-1 or 9-2 and the Twins are like 8-3 or something like that. And I think the next closest team to the Twins is like 5-5 or something. It's kind of.
I had no idea the A's were leading the AL West. Good for them. Cubs big league in the Central. That's surprising, but that's a tough division to you got a lot of teams there. A lot of teams that could play.
Yeah.
West tight, Colorado's, Dodgers, Padres, all neck and neck. I still think we're going to see some weirdness. I still think you're going to see a team like the Padres, a team like, I don't know, I can't say the Brewers, but maybe, you know, maybe some other teams in there, maybe a White Sox or somebody like that. Like, some of the teams that you wouldn't look at.
Let me read you the standings for the NL Central, JT. The Cubs are 9-2, right? The second place Reds are 5-7. The third place Cardinals are 2-3. The fourth place Brewers are 3-5. And the Pirates are 2-10.
Okay, well, we knew the Pirates weren't going to be good. But I mean, see, that's the craziness. You know what I mean? That's the, you know, I mean, the Cardinals could play seven more games and win six of those.
Giants
you know?
Are 5-7 in the NL West, and they're in fourth. The Reds are 5-7 in the NL Central, and they're in second.
Yeah, right. That's just going to be some, that's going to lead to some weird stuff. It just is. They got to try to figure out a way to schedule, but I wouldn't want to be the, whoever schedules the, you know, comes up with the schedule and the travel arrangements and all that for Major League Baseball, like how they're going to fix this problem, that's going to be an absolute mess.
They're already talking about doing double headers that are only seven innings. Apparently, that's already been approved. How you feel about that?
I'm fine with it. If that's what it takes to get this looking like a competitive season, and I mean competitive in that everybody plays the same amount of games, then that's fine, because we were throwing a curveball, so you can't complain that, well, that's not baseball. We don't play seven innings. Dude, we didn't expect any of this. Like, this is a weird thing. This is, we're trying to just manage and get through. Because how would you like to not qualify for the playoffs because the second place, who is it? Who is it you said? The Cardinals?
Right.
Five and seven? And so they, like, if they've played less games or something like that, and then it's a weird thing, you know what I mean?
I feel like Major League Baseball, one of the big things they're missing out on right now is, you know, you can't get fans in the stands. NBA has figured this out. With the NBA right now, you can pay a subscription fee, and if you've got one of these virtual reality headsets that comes with, like, Xbox, PlayStation, whatever, you can sit on the front row of NBA games. Why hasn't MLB done this, man? Like, for me, like, that's what I would do is I would be, if I were the NFL, I'd be finding a way to actually gear the umpire, right, so that fans could actually be the umpire and sit there and watch and, like, literally watch the game from the umpire's perspective. Or even, like, from the manager's perspective at the dugout. You know, like, put a guy over there, just some dude in a suit that wears the gear, camera gear and everything, and, like, you got it, you know? I don't know. Cool. I don't understand why MLB's missing out on such a cool opportunity. Because fans are paying $100 or more a person to put a freaking cardboard sign in the stand, you know? Like,
cardboard.
Can you imagine what they pay to actually be able to sit at these games? It'd be crazy.
And while we're on the subject of standings, what are the NL East standings?
The
like
NL
right
East
now?
Standings right now. I hit the button one too many times. 1 second. Standings. There we go. The NL standings in the NL East, it currently shows, as of us recording this, the Marlins are in first at 5-1. Yeah, I said that right. 5-1. And the Braves are in second at 8-5.
See what I mean?
It's weird. First of all, how are the Marlins 5-1? Come on. Come on. 5-1.
I mean, any baseball team can win 5 out of 6. Especially if you had a week off in between. The Marlins are going to be better this year. The Marlins are going to be better than what they have been.
But you know, they got them.
Maybe they're smart. Hey, let's have Corona early. We'll get out to a first place start.
That'll give us some momentum to the team from South Florida to be all about the Corona. Just saying.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but yeah, I do enjoy a nice Corona when I'm in South Florida. So there you go. Look at that. Never thought about that.
What about when you're in St. Louis?
I enjoy a nice Bush. Ah. Or Budweiser.
And on that
I, but
note,
I can actually enjoy that wherever I want
this
to.
This has been Around the Majors with Ken and JT.
Come back next week for more Around the Majors with Josh and JT, where Josh and JT keep you abreast of all the latest happenings from around Major League Baseball.
Thanks for hanging out. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks,
JT,
buddy.
It's going to be a fun week. Hey, if you're a patron and you subscribe to us usually, just a heads up, we've had some problems with Patreon this week. We're hoping to get everything resolved and fixed as quickly as possible. Hopefully we get that back on track and ready to go. So don't worry. We're working on it. We're going to get it back fixed and going. But also, JT, did you know that you can get some awesome Nakahoma t-shirts and hats and swag?
Sure.
You can. At shop.spreadshirt.com/Nakahoma Nation. We got all kinds of awesome t-shirts. We have t-shirts with our names on it, like Ken and JT and Josh.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But we also have some really cool shirts, too, that are, you know, that there are a few that are a little suggestive, a few that are a lot of fun. And, yeah, if you're celebrating Nick Markakis' comeback, we have the Out of Young Harris shirts going on. So check that out, shop.spreadshirt.com/Nakahoma Nation. JT, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
Have a good one.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.